B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli. 4 o'clock hours brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise, online at landisbc.com. Now, right now on the line, you know, something I've talked about a lot of times is mental health and how I think that we recognize physical injuries with athletes and with people, but we do a very poor job with the brain in general. From everybody does a poor job with the brain and you know, the macho culture and everything like that. And on the line is the executive producer of this new mental health initiative called Headstrong Mental Health and Sports. It comes on NBC Sports Philadelphia tonight at 10 o'clock. I already watched it. Mr. Ted Griggs, how are you today, sir?
I'm great. I'm happy to be talking to you, Tyrone. You're one of my Sixers outsiders. I love it.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for coming on. First things first, why to make do a documentary like this? Why start this initiative?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, I think the most important of which is that sports has in a lot of ways throughout history been an accelerator for societal issues, from Jackie Robinson to Billie Jean King to Jason Collins. There's been a lot of times that sports has gently nudged us in the direction we need to go. And for men, for everybody, but particularly for men who are 75% of the suicides in the United States, accepting and dealing with emotions and the things that go on in your brain has been very, very difficult. And now that athletes are starting to talk about it, I hope that more and more men will look at that and say, you know, it's okay for me to maybe show my emotions and not try to be the big man that doesn't admit that things bother him, because that ends up coming to bite you one way or another. And I think athletes are showing us, as you said, Tyrone, it's mental fitness is just as important as physical fitness, and we don't think about them in the same way, but all the same elements roll into the two things.
And you have representatives from multiple sports in the movie, hockey, basketball, etc. And in the case of football and basketball, for just one second, obviously a lot of guys have taken a lot of headshots, a lot of people have done, and that's, those two sports are supposed to be the ultimate sort of alpha male type sports. It must be really tough for people in those particular sports to admit some form of vulnerability, especially one that doesn't just get shown on an MRI or an X-ray.
That's true. And, you know, obviously concussions are an important issue, and they're an issue that relates to mental health. But if you think about it from an athlete's perspective, showing any kind of weakness can cost you your job, can cost you your career. The stakes are extremely high. And for athletes, the four men that we have, that we primarily feature in this documentary, are incredibly brave people. Not because they stood up and put themselves in harm's way, but because they made themselves vulnerable. And that is, an incredible, incredible thing. And I hope it's an example for me, that I, you know, I need to, admit it when I feel certain ways, just like I would admit it if I had a sore ankle or, you know, if I tweaked a muscle in my back or something else like that.
So what if, for people out there, if they're going to invest the time to watch something like this at 10 o'clock tonight on NBC Sports Philadelphia, what would be the one biggest takeaway you want people to take away from this film?
Talk to each other. I think, especially for men, talk to each other. Men will talk about sports side by side. They don't often talk about the way they're feeling. And I think a lot of these young athletes, particularly in the NBA, are are admitting that they deal with issues. You know, there's this big thing now with guys like Kawhi where they're doing load management. Load management is not just physical. It can be mental as well. And I think we all have to recognize that the mind is a very powerful thing, and our emotions are very powerful. They ultimately drive us to achieve greatness, but they can also drive us to go into some really, really dark places, and we have to be cognizant of that.
In addition to the film tonight, I was reading that you guys have a bunch of short-form digital videos as well. So for the people out there, how can they get access to some of this? And again, why did you feel like you one movie or one film, one documentary wouldn't be enough?
Well, I think that's thank you for asking about that, because we, you know, oftentimes you do an hour TV show and you say, okay, done. And, you know, the issue is people that sometimes that just piques people's interest. So we have 35 digital shorts on our website, NBCSports.com/Headstrong. And then if you go into NBC Sports Philadelphia, there's another 15 that are primarily focused on Philadelphia-based athletes and people in your community that maybe you are a little bit more interested in. Mike Schmidt's on there, Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson. There's a number of Philadelphia athletes who are talking about these issues, as well as mental health. You know, we're in the month of Movember right now. Men's health is a very important issue.
No, it's proven. Men go to the doctors in general last. That we don't do as good a job taking care of ourselves physically. Forget about mentally, where we're way, way behind. So I'm glad you're bringing us all this up. Last thing, how long do you think it will take for us as a society to sort of get that being depressed or whatever, any kind of mental health issue, is just as real as a knee injury?
I think it's going to come really quickly. What I've seen, I'm more than a little older than you, Tyrone. I've seen that, you know, things start to pick up some steam and then they roll like a snowball. You know, I think it's really interesting. As a man, if I said to you, you know, I'm getting a little flabby, I'm going to start running, or I'm seeing a personal trainer, you'd say, that's cool. Or if I said, I'm working on my core strength, you'd say, that's cool. But if I said, wow, I'm working with my ups and downs and my emotions, and I'm going to see a therapist, you know, in the past, people would sort of cock an eye. But now, I think especially people of your generation, Tyrone, they say, that's cool. And I think that's progress. It sometimes takes a while, but then once you pick up speed, then everybody realizes, you know, there's this narrative out there that 2 of 5 people deal with mental health issues. I think that's BS. I think 5 of 5 people deal with mental health issues. It's no different than physical health. And we all go through ups and downs in our life. We all get depressed. We all have days where we can't manage our highs and lows. That's called being a human being.
No, you're absolutely right. We've been speaking to Ted Griggs, one of the executive producers of Headstrong Mental Health and Mental Health and Sports. It launches tonight, 10 p.m. on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Thanks so much for the time.
I thank you for helping me to get the word out. This is something that, you know, every so often we like to do something that we think will help people to see their own life through the lens of sports and maybe make the world a little bit of a better place. So we really appreciate you helping us get the word out.
No problem. Thanks a lot, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Keep doing the great work on Outsiders. I love it.
Thank you. I will keep on trying. I appreciate it. That's Ted Griggs, one of the executive producers. Headstrong. And Andrew, you're younger than me. Does your generation, your friend, your peer group, I don't want you to name names, obviously, are you guys starting to do better with mental health, or is it still that macho guy thing where we kind of don't talk about our feelings?
No, we're doing a lot better.
Your generation's doing better?
I think so. I mean, I know people close to me that deal with it, and it gets brought up in conversation, and we talk about it in an adult way, not macho way, like you said. So, yeah, it's this stuff that Ted's doing, a lot of other people, it's near and dear to me, so I appreciate it.
Me too. I'm going to check it out tonight. I saw it, but I'll probably watch it again with my wife. Sort of, it could be a conduit to, because some people have trouble. Maybe you can share it with the fellas, but then you can't share it with the ladies. And it's still a lot. We still have a ways to go.
Well, I know it's been, you know, mental anxiety and all that stuff has been going on for a while, but when Kevin Love talked about it, what, like 2 years ago when he first brought it up?
Uh-huh.
That's when people, it like really opened up for a lot of people.
He's definitely, he's part of one of the digital shorts as well. So we'll talk about that pretty soon. James, we'll go back to the phone, 610-632-0975. Sixers, GOAT talk. We'll get some of the emails and your calls as well about that. And the Eagles, because the Eagles are always a topic here, even during the bye week. James in Germantown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Tyrone, this is a question. Do you think that the Eagles' locker room is so fickle that they couldn't bring in an Antonio Brown or a Josh Gordon just to get us to the playoffs? Because
you can't bring in a Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon was very angry today because apparently it was well known. If you signed Josh Gordon at 3 p.m., it's 4:14 right now. You got your radio on, the TV in the background. You got to turn that down. He would be on the commissioner's list, not able to play by 4:15. He was not going to play a game this year until all that domestic violence stuff is cleared up, and that's the right decision. I didn't want the guy near the Eagles locker room. I don't want him near the building.
Antonio Brown.
Yep, I don't want Antonio Brown near the building.
Why?
Because
if he can get us to the playoffs.
Doesn't matter about there. I don't want to win at all costs because the man is accused of multiple occasions of domestic violence. I can't have that guy on my team.
Yeah, but the teams that win at all costs.
I don't want to win. Then I don't want to win. If it means win at all costs, I would rather not win. I don't think that the line of you can't commit domestic violence keeps you from winning. I can have a roster full of guys who aren't necessarily choir boys that might like to go out, curse somebody out, maybe are straight up jerks, but don't beat women. I don't think that's the hardest thing in the world to do. If I can't build a locker room without that, then I'd rather not build a locker room. If he gets cleared, and it appears he may at the end of the season, then at some point if somebody wants to have him on the team next year, fine, if he's cleared of all that. But I don't want him near the Eagles. This is not a hard threshold. I got a couple of things. Don't say the N-word on video. Don't beat women. Don't kill. Like, you know, there's certain things. They're not really hard. None of those include being nice, necessarily, or wholesome. But no, you can't do what he does and then just skate and play on my football team. I wouldn't have it. And I really want to make the playoffs. Well, not like that. And that's the thing I would say for hockey, baseball, whatever. Like, we know what happened with the Phillies. He can't be back on this team next year. He left hand marks in his girlfriend's throat. He can't come back. This is a very low threshold. I don't leave hand marks in people's throats. Do you, Andrew?
No.
All right. Now, if it was a DUI, you can forgive that, in my opinion. Multiple, tougher. Making a mistake, one single mistake, such as, I don't know, he stole some sneakers like some cowboy did a few years ago.
Oh, that was stupid.
Yeah. Can I have them back? Yeah. There's certain things we're sure. Remember people used to get mad if a guy had a bad lyrics on his rap song. I don't care about any of that. But come on. I don't want to win at all costs. Kevin in Newcastle, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Ty, man, I want to thank you, man. My mom and my mother-in-law, man, he rest in peace. They suffered from schizophrenia. So I had PTSD before I went to the Marine Corps.
Oh, wow.
But getting on with that man just said, and I'm glad they are talking about it, man. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30, I go to the VA hospital, and there's a group of us, about 30 in a room. And it's mostly males. We have two females. And we talked about things. See, he hit it on the nose. I wanted to talk about Ben Simmons, but when you said this, man, mental health has been near and dear to my heart for years, man. I was trying to get help for my mom for years. And finally, when I came home out of the Marine Corps in 92, it took for John Street. He came to our church one Sunday, and my pastor's a retired cop. And his office end up giving me numbers, and they cut through a lot of red tape, man, and I was able to get the help for my mom that she needed, man. And by you having this on right here, I'm going to look at that tonight, but I feed my mind every Wednesday, and then I'm a deacon at my church, so I go to Bible study and I go to church. But even though I know there's a higher calling, when I'm in that room, Ty, every Wednesday, among men and women that went through or similar things that I've been through, I feel more comfortable, man, because what we say in that room stays in that room. But you got to feed your mind. You got to see, back in the day, you know, they used to shun people, man. They used to, you know, didn't want to talk about it. Now that it is on the surface, now it is being talked about. Major depression disorder is 30% of my 100% disability from the military, man.
Now, think about that. Not to cut you off out there, but you're a military man. By all, every kind of measure, you're a tough guy. Yet you're able to talk about this, and I think this is important. I talked about it, and I'm sure there's pro athletes, accountants, radio people, you name it, that have dealt with mental health issues, and it's sad that so many of us feel uncomfortable discussing it.
Yeah, I'm not, and you know what, I would never, like, being as though my mom and my mother-in-law had suffered by, like, you would have certain kids, when they see people walking the streets and they're not on any meds, they would laugh and joke. They couldn't do that around me. This is way when I was a teenager before I went to the military. I didn't play that, man.
Right.
I didn't play that. So it's real serious to me, man. This is more bigger than sports that I was going to talk about, Ben. And I'm glad you had this guy come on and touched on it, man, because it's real important, man. And this ain't macho, bro. A lot of the criminal activities out here is dealing, believe it or not, it's with mental health, man.
Well, you're absolutely right. You just run out of time, Kevin. I'm sorry about that, but you're absolutely right. A lot of people are self-medicating. And a lot of people are acting out, and a lot of people have PTSD. There's a lot of reasons people do a lot of things, and it's also part of a reason why certain communities don't get better, because you have a large group of people who are dealing with real mental things altogether, and none of them know how to deal with it. And then they live in, and then they have kids, and those kids end up seeing those same things, and those same things repeat themselves over and over and over again. And we only look at the behavior, and we very rarely look at the causes of the behavior. Rarely, if ever, look at the causes. So I think that that's to me, this is important for me. That's it. I'm a guy who considers myself pretty mentally tough, but the worst thing in the world are these fake tough guys. I can't stand them. And not everybody has to be tough all the time. But the fake tough guys are the worst. Barry in Abington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how are you, Tyrone?
What's up, Barry?
Listen, I agree with almost everything you say. I just want to call and remind you that a game in November is just as important as a game in April.
Okay.
So we can sit and wait for Ben Simmons to get his act together.
They're 5-2.
But I don't like it.
If they win 5 out of 7 all year, if they win 5 out of 7, let's just do math. Like, we believe in math. 5 divided by 7 times 82. That would be 58.5 wins. If they win 59 games, what's the problem? Because that'll probably get you the one seed.
Because they might have won 65.
Okay. If they get the one seed, what's the difference between 59 and 65? Other than it make you feel better?
Nothing.
Well, then there you go.
You're exactly right. But if it goes on for another week, you're going to be saying the same thing, and you shouldn't.
What? No, I'm not. What are you talking about? They're 5-2. That's why I'm saying, if they were 2-5, I wouldn't be saying, let's relax. I'm saying they're 5-2. They're on pace right now with Embiid missing 3 games and Ben Simmons missing the better part of 1. They're 5-2.
Okay.
Without their full roster. That's why I'm saying it. Not because I think these games mean nothing. Also, teams do get on a roll at some point. I believe this team will get on a... I don't think 5 is going to be the biggest winning streak of the season. I think they're going to get on a roll at some point.
I just want Simmons to shoot.
We all want Simmons to shoot, and he has to shoot. It's mandatory that Ben Simmons shoots. That does not mean that being 5-2 is a negative.
Right. Exactly. And if they're 15-7... it's partially his fault. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all.
But it also would be Embiid's fault and Horford's fault and Harris's fault. It wouldn't just be Ben Simmons' fault. Ben Simmons has to shoot. He has to shoot. He has to shoot. There's no doubt about it. But being 5-2, there are much worse things in the world. That's all. And being on pace for 59 wins, there's worse things in the world. That's all. He must shoot. The people talking about trading him, They're not serious people. They're jokey people. Hey, hot take, hot take, hot take. Everyone loves a hot take. That's who those people are. Scrap and Darby, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What up, Tyron? What's good with you, brother?
What's up, Scrap?
Man, props to you, man. I listen to your show all the time, man, and you definitely got that show voice, you know, much respect to you, brother.
Appreciate it. I don't hear that very often.
But check this out. You know, the Sixers are going to be all right. You know, like Ben Simmons, his shoulder injury, you know, but we got Joe Embiid and, you know, we got a few other players that could, you know, hold the fort down, you know, while he down. You know, just, you know, get through therapy, do what you got to do. And hopefully the brother, you know, start coming out, start shooting some jumpers. You know what I mean?
He has to at some point start to shoot, or this team, it will hold this team back unless Tobias Harris or Joel Embiid explode to another tier to where they can work around it. As is, they cannot work around it in the playoffs in a championship type of setting.
Oh, without a doubt. And to switch subjects, you know, switch teams up. You think the Eagles, you think they're going to try to go at the Dez Bryant, or, you know, we're going to have to get another wide receiver, man. Like, I'm not too hyped over my man coming back.
Yeah, you know? I get you. Dez Bryant, I believe they will attend his workout and evaluate. I do not know what he has left. That's the honest. But I do think they'll do their due diligence. That's what I believe. And they actually have an empty roster spot right now because they put one. They released Zendejo and put Jackson on IR, so they do have a spot.
They just signed someone.
Well, who'd they sign?
Marcus Epps.
Who was that?
His safety. Played for the Vikings.
I don't know who Marcus Epps
is. Yeah.
All right, well, then they don't have a. But they'll cut somebody if he look good.
Yeah.
It'd be easy to cut somebody. 610-632-0975.
Oh, man, you don't know Marcus Epps?
No.
Oh, man. I know Mike Epps. You don't have him on your fantasy squad?
No, nah, he's not Mike Epps. They signed Mike Epps to help the locker room morale. He's a funny comedian. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. Sal Chunas in for me and Natalie. And now it's time to update our Twitter poll, and that's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. What's the update, Andrew?
The question, the Sixers are now losers of 2 straight games, and it seems like fans are starting to panic, which is true. Are they overreacting? 75% say yes, they are overreacting. 25% say no. They are not overreacting.
Right, and I agree, but most of the callers have been pretty panicky for the most part, and it's a weird thing. And maybe sports talk radio is not the right way to look at it, but on social media last night, even though we didn't have a Sixers Outsiders, I used the hashtag, a tweet along with the game. Don't tweet quite as much for my own sanity because it's tough knowing I won't be able to get all those thoughts out with a show after the game, and people were in hysterics during that game. Like, Embiid had 18, 8, and 3, and I had to deal with a guy talking about how tired he was and all this stuff, and I'm like, 18, 8, and 3? Why are we complaining? Now, if you want to complain in the second half, missing shots, whatever it may be, fine. Like, I don't really care. It's just we seem to be in a state of always angry and always anxious. Like, we have sports, not real, sports PTSD from all the losing. Sports beat, not the real one. Like, we're always in a state of, like, doom and gloom. And the Eagles Super Bowl, all it's done is kind of keep people from being as angry at Nick Foles. And everywhere, and every other way, we're just right back to doom and gloom. Oh, the Phillies, they're going to stink forever. They'll never win. Bryce Harper, da-da-da-da-da. Carson, he stinks.
Well, it's because people expect perfection out of those guys.
Yeah.
Like, they expect Carson Wentz to be Tom Brady. They expect Ben Simmons to be Magic Johnson, to be LeBron James, because they were compared to potentially being those players at some point.
Right. And with that, in the media, there's a certain amount of people who are irresponsible, and they become just these hot take machines.
Oh, it's terrible.
In the media, they're getting paid, and their main job, and there's parallels with all of them. If you find every Carson Wentz hater, not person critical, I'm talking about every Wentz hater, is also a Simmons or Embiid hater. So they just fire off hot takes, bam, bam, bam. Wentz sucks, wrong quarterback, trade Embiid, trade Simmons, hot take, hot take, hot take, and they still get paid. They still collect paychecks.
Click, 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 click.
Yeah.
That is.
To do that. And because of that, people then read that stuff and hear that stuff, and it takes a fan base that's already really nervous and makes it worse. And I want to say again before we go to the phones, Ben Simmons must shoot. That's a fact. That does not mean just because I say we go too far that the criticism that Ben Simmons doesn't shoot is wrong. It's correct. Where we go with it is incorrect, because we act like basketball is papa shot. And there's no dribbling, no rebounding, no defense. It's just papa shot, and he's not shooting enough in papa shot. We go too far because of the hot take clickbait culture. And those clickbait people are rewarded wrongly with existence. They shouldn't even have jobs. They should not be allowed to speak beyond the blog level. But now they get to speak to millions of people. All right, he's on a hot streak. Let's see if he can continue it. Jim in Havertown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, Tyrone. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, it's a different Jim. What's up, Jim?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk. We're talking about Ben Simmons. I agree with a lot of the things you say about he's got potential to be a awesome player. But I am concerned, like you just were saying, how he has to shoot. He has to shoot. I'm just wondering how long is it going to take him to get over this. He obviously has a deep-rooted psychological issue with shooting.
I don't know if that's the case. I think he's more of a guy who likes to stay within himself, and he doesn't try to do things he doesn't think he's good at. That's different than having a mental issue. I don't know if it's really a mental issue necessarily. I think it's more, I don't think I'm a good shooter, therefore I'm going to do the things I'm good at.
Yeah, but he has to understand that playing basketball, that the only way, and this is all, you know, we've said it a million times, you get better by doing something repetitively over and over. If he feels that way, then why would he even practice jump shots at all?
Because I think he knows that he has to get good at jump shots. And I think when he feels he is good at jump shots, then he'll shoot them. I don't think he thinks right now he would help the team shooting jump shots. Whether he's right or wrong, I believe that's the reason. I don't know. I don't like to play armchair physician about mental blocks and mental problems. I don't go there. That's not for me.
It just seems like when he gets the ball and he gets open, he almost shuts, and if he's open and someone's giving him a 12-footer, he just, like, looks like he freezes and just can't wait to get rid of the ball. To me, that seems like it's something's going on there. I think
that I've already stated my opinion on this.
I know.
I don't play armchair physician. I'm not a psychiatrist. I believe he doesn't believe in the shot, and that's why he doesn't take it. I do not necessarily think. I think if he thought he was Steph Curry, I think he would shoot. Using your argument, he could literally be as good shooting as Steph Curry, and he wouldn't shoot because it's mental. I think he believes it's the deficiency in his game. There's the difference. That's where I'm at. That doesn't mean I'm right. That's what I think it is. And I think, why does Embiid go to the three-point line? Because he's soft. No, I think Embiid thinks he can make threes. I think Embiid thinks he can score from all three levels, mid-range, three-point line, and close to the basket. And I think he wants to do all those things because I think he thinks it makes himself harder to guard. I don't think that means he's mentally soft like fans do. That's all. I just interpret it differently. I think Embiid, when he shoots those threes, he thinks he's going to make them. I'm soft. Oh, I don't want to get touched. I don't believe that goes through his mind. I think what goes through his mind is I'm about to make this three and be a hero. That's what I think goes through his mind. Just a different approach to what I think happens during basketball games. Dave in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Call Tyrone. Good thing you showed up for work and Sal Tunis came in off the bench. Where's the rest of the A-team?
Well, Mike and Natalie have planned days off. Natalie's out tomorrow as well. Mike will be back.
Okay. Thank you for your honesty. Tyrone.
Yes.
Once upon a time, the Sixers had a coach by the name of Gene Shue. he presided over an all-star team, much like Brett Brown. They were prohibitive favorites against the Portland Trail Blazers and blew a 2-0 lead in that series and lost the chip. The very next year, they started out 2-4, and ownership had enough of Gene Shue. What's it going to take to get Brett Brown out of here?
A worse record than 5-2. That's not 2-4. This is 5-2 with his main lineup only playing 3 total games.
Well,
way too soon to even discuss that. Way too soon, Dave.
Ty, I'm looking things in its totality. This is his 7th year.
Uh-huh.
The team underachieved in the playoffs the last 2 years.
No, they didn't.
Okay.
They lost in the playoffs last year because Ben Simmons, lack of a development, and Embiid got sick. And the plus-minus differential, and they had no backup center last year whatsoever. The plus-minus numbers were out of this world. That's not his fault that his backup centers were Greg Monroe and Boban Marjanovic.
You're right, Ty, and I would never argue NBA with you. You have
No. I hear you. It's not that Brett Brown is above questioning. I just don't think he's the problem when you have certain deficiencies with the players. I blame the coach when the players are good enough and you still lose. If Ben Simmons starts shooting jump shots and they lose, I'm blaming the coach.
All right. Oh, Todd, let me get this in. Matt Rhule, okay?
Yes.
He's got an undefeated football team.
Yes.
Ranked 10th in the new football playoff.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. If he defeats Oklahoma and Texas, which is a tall order.
I don't think he will. I think he beats Texas. I don't think he beats Oklahoma.
No. But wins the Big 12 conference game, and the higher-ups keep beating each other up, guess what? He's going to the big dance.
I do not think so. I think that Ohio State or Penn State would be then locks. Then you have the Pac-12 champion out there, too. Nah, I don't. I mean, I guess if he goes undefeated. But no, I don't see it happening. But that doesn't mean he's not doing a great job. That school was in a lot of trouble. And, surprise, surprise, none of his current players have been accused of sexual assault like 97 of the previous coaches at Baylor. When the previous coach, who's now a high school coach, and some of his high school players have now been accused of assault. Funny how that works. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic,
NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. Andrew Salchunas in for me and Natalie. Mike will be back tomorrow. 610-632-0975 is the phone number. Been talking about a lot of things. Philly Sports Hall of Fame in honor of that. We've been talking about the GOATs. We talked about that earlier. And I know people, Donovan McNabb, a lock, makes a lot of sense. Eric Desjardins, Fran Dunphy, Jason Stark, Matthew Saad Muhammad, Mike Socha, Rasheed Wallace, Susie Colber, and Troy Vincent, who deserves it as an Eagle and local guy, but he's kind of a joke job now. So he loses points every minute, and he still works for the NFL and does all his fraudulent things. Supposed to have the players back as a former player. Nope, he just, whatever you say, Roger. I feel like that's probably all he says. He just stamps it. Whatever you say, Roger, you're right. Just keep writing the checks.
Yeah, exactly. Keep paying me.
Keep paying me. It doesn't matter that I played the game and I understand. No, let's try 18 games. Sure, half of my peers have CTE. Nah, what's another 2 games? It won't kill them. Oh, what? It might actually kill them. Oh, who cares? Keep getting them checks. Just not a swell guy that Troy Vincent as his post-player career. Remember at the time they used to say, oh, he's going to be having all these businesses. Yeah, just being Roger Goodell's lackey. Isan, I believe, in Southwest Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Tyrone? Man, I didn't get a chance to meet you, but I thought it was interesting what you were talking about and with the interview at the top of the hour. I was actually at your Beasley Studios this summer for an initiative for suicide awareness. And wow. I was outside the studio. You were in there with Natalie. And I came by, like, getting a tour of the studios. I didn't get to meet you, but I just thought it was interesting that you were actually talking about the same thing I was connecting with y'all network for. But,
it's an important thing that sometimes it's too taboo to talk about, but we have to do a better job.
Yeah, I lost a brother to it, so it's important to me on a personal level. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to say, thank you, man. I wanted to say, I am going to connect it to sports, but I wanted to say that the communication, that's a big part of it. So I've been having, these monthly meetings at libraries in my neighborhood, and dudes come out and they talk about stuff that they normally wouldn't talk about, from, fatherhood, the effects of prison, all kinds of things that impact our mental health. So it's a discussion that's trending upward.
That's a good thing.
It is, man. To connect that with sports, I was thinking, how sad it is. I heard people talking about Antonio Brown. One of the callers came on after the interview.
Yeah.
And I think he actually is an example of a mental health problem. I really look at everything that's going on with him in a sad way. Although he's got some criminal stuff that needs to be resolved and is not looking good, every time he takes a step forward in his public image, it seems like he's determined to ruin it. So, this morning, it was, breaking news that he was going to get an interview with the NFL next week. And then, an hour later, he's on Twitter saying, I'll never play for the league, and, cursing out the league. It's like he takes steps back, and that doesn't seem like somebody with a rational mind.
You're probably right. Obviously, none of us are doctors, but we only look at their behavior. I would be interested as to why all of a sudden Antonio Brown is so erratic when he seemed, at least, they say, early in his career, as such a normal guy. We may never know the real answer, but something changed. Is it just him being a jerk, or is there a real problem there?
Yeah, I think it's a balance of something may have already been there. It might have been that hit he took years ago. I remember he got hit real hard, but I think perfect.
You get knocked out. And, I mean, these guys get hit in the head for a living as a job. That can do all kinds of things. I don't know, but I would not be shocked if it came out that Antonio Brown had some sort of undiagnosed problem down the road, and that's why suddenly he became erratic. I don't think anybody at this point would be shocked by that. I don't think. Right, Andrew?
No, I don't think anybody would be shocked. I mean, it's drastic, the changes.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be shocked by that.
Yeah, like the caller brought up, I mean, I saw a tweet last night. Somebody asked, why aren't you in the league? And he said, ask the NFL.
Right.
And then this morning, Josina Anderson put the reports out that he was going to have a meeting next Thursday with the NFL. And not 2 hours later, he puts out a tweet just completely tearing apart the league. And the interview or the meeting wasn't for another week, so it's not like something happened today.
My guess is they told him that they were going to put him on that list, that he was going to be out for the year, and they were just going to talk, hey, but we'll talk about it, maybe you could present some evidence, blah, 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 and he just snapped. That's my guess, that he found out that the meeting was not going to be a reinstatement meeting, but more of a you're not playing this year meeting, so he's probably just saying, well, why bother? That's at least what the speculation is, but who knows? Who knows. The GOATs, once again, before we go to break, and we'll talk, all phone calls in the 5 o'clock hour. All phone calls, no guests in the 5 o'clock hour. Jay-Z, for people just tuning in, he is the GOAT in the hip-hop category. Rock, it is Prince. Living GOAT, Paul McCartney. R&B, Stevie Wonder, and only Stevie Wonder. And in country, picked by Andrew Salchunas, Kenny Chesney. So in addition to all the sports conversations, can you top the GOAT? And I meant to in this hour, that's on me. I have tons in my email and on Twitter where people made suggestions. We'll get to all of those and your calls in the 5 o'clock hour. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.